Then you come to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text Number 8. Daham kila puranantam rajato bhuvimuktidam apujayam namokshaya mohito devamayaya aham I. Kila. Indeed. Pura. Long ago. Anantam. The Supreme Lord. Who is unlimited. Praja Arta. Wanting a child. Bhuvi. On the earth. Muktidam. The Lord. Who awards liberation. Apujayam. I worshipped. Namokshaya. Not for liberation. Mohitaha. Bewildered. Devamayaya. By the illusory energy of the Lord. In a previous birth on this earth, I worshipped the Supreme Lord Ananta, who alone can award liberation. But because I desired to have a child, I did not worship him for liberation. Thus, I was bewildered by the Lord's illusory energy. Purport. According to Sridhar Swami, the word kila, meaning indeed, it is true, it is said, or as is well known, indicates that Vasudev, who remembering the words the Lord had spoken to him when the Lord had appeared as four-armed Vishnu in the prison of Kamsa. According to Sridhar Swami, the word kila, meaning indeed, it is true, it is said, or as is well known, indicates that Vasudev was remembering the words the Lord had spoken to him when the Lord had appeared as four-armed Vishnu in the prison of Kamsa. Srila Yuga Goswami states that from the anxiety of Vasudev, which is expressed in this verse by the words apujayam, namokshaya, mohito, devamayaya, it is to be discerned that Vasudeva had heard of the curse of the Brahmanas at Pindaraka against the Yadu dynasty, and that he could understand from this curse that the Lord's disappearance from the earth was imminent. Vasudeva understood that the Lord's manifest pastimes within this universe were coming to an end, and he now lamented that he had not directly taken advantage of the opportunity to worship Krishna, to go back home, back to Godhead. Significantly, Vasudeva has used the word Muktidam to describe the Lord. Muktidam is a synonym of Mukunda, or that personality who can give liberation from the cycle of birth and death. It is stated in Vedic literature that even the demigods are bound to the cycle of birth and death, although their lifespan is inconceivably long by earthly calculations. It is the Almighty God alone who can free the conditional soul, from the reactions to his previous sinful activities and award him an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Vasudeva lamented that he had desired Krishna to come to him as a son instead of desiring to go back to Krishna, back to Godhead, to serve the Lord in the spiritual sky. Commenting on this incident in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada has emphasized that we should desire to go back home, back to Godhead, rather than try to bring the Lord to this world as our son. Nor can we artificially imitate the severe penances Vasudeva and Devaki performed for thousands of heavenly years in their previous births as Sutapa and Prishni. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada states, if we want to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become one of us in this material world, this requires great penance. But if we want to go back to Krishna, Chaktva Deham Buna Janma, Nayati Mameti Sorojana, we need only understand him and love him. Through love only we can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu freely bestows the benediction of love of Krishna, which allows one to return to Krishna's abode through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This chanting process is far more effective in this age than artificial attempts to perform severe penances and austerities. Srila Prabhupada concludes, therefore, one need not undergo severe penances for many thousands of years. One need only learn how to love Krishna and be always engaged in his service. Sevam mukhe Jiva Adu Svayameva Spuratyada. Then one can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Instead of bringing the Lord here for some material purpose, to have a son or whatever else, if we go back home, back to Godhead, our real relationship with the Lord is revealed and we eternally engage in our eternal relationship. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we gradually develop our eternal relationship with the Supreme Person and thus attain the perfection called Svarupa Siddhi. We should take advantage of this benediction and go back home, back to Godhead. Bhagavatam 10.3.38 purport. Although Vasudeva and Devaki desired that Krishna become their son, it should be understood that they are devotees eternally situated in love of Krishna, as stated by the Lord himself, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.39, Mohito Deva Mayaya. Vasudeva and Devaki, his pure devotees, were covered by his internal potency. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 4.1.20, the great sage Atri Muni prays to the Lord, Prajam Atma Samam Mahyam Prayachatahu. Kindly be pleased to offer me a son exactly like you. Atri Muni said he wanted a son exactly like the Lord, and therefore he was not a pure devotee, because he had a desire to be fulfilled, and that desire was material. If he had desired the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his child, he would have been completely free of material desires, because he would have wanted the Supreme Absolute Truth. But because he wanted a similar child, his desire was material. Thus, Atri Muni cannot be counted among the pure devotees. Vasudeva and Devaki, however, did want the Lord himself, and therefore they were pure devotees of the Lord. In this verse, therefore, Vasudeva's statement, Apujayam Namokshaya Mohito Devamayaya, should be taken to mean that Krishna's internal potency bewildered Vasudeva, so that he would desire Krishna as his son. This paved the way for the Lord's appearance as the son of his loving devotees. Om Ajnatimirandasya Kananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tatati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Mohito Deva Mayaya. Bewildered. Vasudeva is considering himself bewildered by Maya. Because he wanted Krishna as his son. And worshipped Ananta so that he could have the opportunity to have Krishna as his boy. And because this is not an unusual desire for parents, especially in the Vedic, in the culture of India, shall we say, the remnants of Vedic culture. Everybody wants a son, right? And sons are, there's a lot of importance placed on having a son. So Vasudeva is lamenting somewhat that I've heard from Krishna, I've heard from the Lord that many, many years ago, long time ago, Puranantam, long time ago, uh, Praja artha, wanting a child, bhuvi, on the earth, I worship Ananta. And he's also meditating on the fact that while Krishna has been present, he hasn't taken advantage of that opportunity to worship him for liberation. So on the one hand, he's feeling, I worship the Lord Ananta so I could have Krishna as my son. So he's thinking that this is really a material desire, much the same as the desire of many fathers, oh, I want to have a son. So it's one lamentation. Then the other lamentation is that Krishna's here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is here. He's my son, but I haven't worshipped him to get liberation, mukti-dham. Mukti-dham. Dham means to give. Dham also means wife, but in this context, it means mukti-dham means to give. Interesting, I was looking up this word dumb, mukti dumb. One who gives. Dumb also means, and it's interesting, in English we have the word damsel and madame, right? Even domestic, related words. But in this case, mukti dumb means the giver of liberation. So, Vasudev is lamenting. Under the influence of the illusory potency of the Lord, I have failed to worship Krishna, who's the giver of liberation. And I worship the Lord simply to have him as a son. Because, he's presenting himself in a very humble way. Because actually he's always in a liberated position. He's actually an eternal associate of the Lord, as is mentioned here. That actually his position is actually as an eternal servant, loving servant of the Lord, and so consequently he doesn't actually have to worship Krishna to get liberation. He's already liberated. And his worship of the Lord to engage in that service of being his father, Krishna's father, is purely motivated. And then there's the comparison here between him and Atri Muni. Atri Muni prayed to have a son like Krishna. So his desire actually was just to have a son. But in Vasudeva's case, he wanted to have Krishna as his son so that he could render service to him. So it was considered to be a pure desire. But yet, still he, you know, in a humble state of mind, he's thinking, you know, the human form of life is a great opportunity. That's how the devotee's saying. Human form of life is a great opportunity. Actually, to get the human form of life is rarely achieved. Sudulabham. It's rare to get the human form of life. 8,400,000 species in material existence. So many reptiles, so many amphibians, so many animals, so many plant species, so many bird species, so many germs. 8,400,000 species of life. And it is extremely good fortune to have achieved a human form of life. What to speak of in the human form of life, actually having an opportunity to associate with the devotees. That's rarely achieved. And even then, associating with the devotees, understanding the necessity and the advantages that come as a result of getting the human form of life and getting an opportunity to engage in devotional service. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yantati siddhaya yatatama visidhanam kaschin mam viti tatvataha. So out of thousands amongst men, what's just getting to the human form of life, that's one thing. But then in the human form of life, getting an opportunity to live in a society or in a community or in a family that can actually aspire for liberation or for making spiritual advancement. That's rare. Many thousands amongst men, out of one, hardly one endeavours for perfection. But even then, out of those who aspire for liberation or for perfection in life, hardly one of them makes progress to the point where they understand the importance of rendering devotional service. So Vasudeva's feeling, I've wasted my human form of life because I haven't taken full advantage of it. And so when he's got an opportunity now to associate with Narada Muni, then he's feeling like, now I've got an opportunity to perfect my birth. I've got an opportunity to take advantage of the fact that I've been born in a human species, and I've now got an opportunity to associate with a devotee who I can inquire from and rectify this faulty mentality that I've got. I'm under the influence of Maya. Well, it's true, he is under the influence of Maya, but under the influence of Yoga Maya rather than Maha Maya. And so Vasudeva's position is actually very elevated. He's demonstrated by his austerities performed when he and his wife were present as Sutapa and Prishni. Thousands and thousands of years of austerities and penances, you know, breathing only air. Doesn't it describe breathing only air? Not even drinking any water and eating leaves of trees. Performing wonderful austerities. So Vasudeva is feeling, I can finish off my material existence having achieved the human form of life. I can take advantage of it and I can finish off my material existence by taking shelter of, by worshipping Krishna basically. And of course that's the process. In material existence, people worship the demigods for material benefits. But actually the demigods are not able to really give a benefit. You know, the demigods, or material existence, you know, we get some material benefit, but what's the real advantage of that? All that material benefit does is bewilder us, makes us confused. And so as a result of that confusion, it just means we stay in the material world. This is the real fault, if you like, of worshipping the demigods. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's recommended that we encourage people to worship the demigods if that's what they're doing. Gradually, they'll be purified. But a devotee understands that material advancement, material benefits, simply entangle one in material existence, and they appear to be a benefit, but actually they're not. They just confuse us, bewilder us, and keep us entangled in material existence. Even the demigods, as mentioned in the purport here, even the demigods are bound by their karma and have to endure the cycle of repeated birth and death. Whereas if we worship Mukti Dham, Krishna, if we worship the giver of liberation, then we can be relieved of that cycle of birth and death. And as is pointed out in the purport, very easy for us. It's extremely easy. What is that? What is achieved in the Satya Yuga by tens of thousands of years of meditation? Kritayam Jayato Vishnum. Right? Jayato means to meditate on. Vishnu means Lord Vishnu. Kritayam. So in the Kriti Yuga, that's another name for Satya Yuga, one meditates on Lord Vishnu by the yoga process. Tretayam yajja. Tretayam? There's something makai, yajjatam, isn't it? Jagya, by the performance of jagya in Treta Yuga. Very opulent. Tretayam yajjatam mukai. By worshipping the Lord in the performance of jagyas with gold and ghee and grains and opulence. A great amount of opulence is required in order to perform the sacrifices required for perfection in the Treta Yuga. Dwapayam Parichajayam, in the Dwapa Yuga, worship of the deity in the temple. The results of all of these activities in the Kali Yuga can be achieved simply by chanting Hare Krishna. That's what it mentions here, basically. And there's a paraphrasing of Prabhupada's purport from the beginning of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam that we don't actually have to perform great austerities like Vasudeva did as Vrishni and Sutapa. Vasudeva and Devaki performed these austerities in a previous age in order to get Krishna as their son. So Prabhupada's comment is that rather than desiring Krishna to come as our son, we don't need to do that. It's very difficult, extremely difficult to perform. But we should desire to go back home, back to Godhead, rather than bring Krishna to this world to be our son. And the simple process for going back to Krishna is simply chanting Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu freely bestows the benediction of love of Krishna which allows one to return to Krishna's abode through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This chanting process is far more effective in this age than artificial attempts to perform severe penances and austerities. So all we need to do is learn how to love Krishna. Well, it's not so easy, learning how to love Krishna. But first and foremost, we are encouraged to make progress on the path of loving Krishna by taking up the chanting of Hare Krishna seriously. Then Prabhupada says, then one can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Because what happens is we chant Hare Krishna, and by offering this prayer, O my Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service, then basically we are purified, our consciousness is purified, and our original position as a servant of Krishna, or initially at least as a servant of Krishna, we're able to engage in devotional service. And then by engagement in the process of devotional service, gradually we're able to develop our love for Krishna through the different stages of devotional service, as Gangeshwara was explaining yesterday. Adore, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti Syat. Right? So first of all, we have some faith in God. And in that state of faithfulness, we come into the association of the devotees. And then in the association of the devotees, we are encouraged by good association to take up the process of devotional service, Bhajana Kriya. And then, as a result of that engagement in devotional service, one then becomes purified. And this is the key importance, actually. Before we can come to the point of nishtha, steadiness, we have to give up unwanted things. Anatta nivritti syat. So the unwanted attachments are basically burned up in the fire of engagement in devotional service. Prabhupada mentions this is the most important thing. We have to remain constantly engaged in devotional service so that the impurities of material consciousness can be burnt up, basically. Sevan mukhe hi jiva dos vayam eva sparat yada, as mentioned here. My engagement in devotional service, beginning with the tongue, which means, you know, taking prasadam, chanting Hare Krishna, then always remembering Krishna and remembering ourselves as his servant, remembering our position, then by engaging in devotional service constantly and without material consideration, one becomes purified. And then as one develops the devotional attitude, then the love gradually becomes manifest. It's actually our natural position. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabu Noi Sravanadi Suddha Chitte Karaye Udoi. Natural love for Krishna is something which is inherent in everybody's heart. It is something which is naturally existing within everyone. It's our Satchit Ananda form. And when we're engaged in devotional service under the auspices of the internal potency, the antaranga shakti, then the internal potency uncovers or reveals to us through its different... The antaranga shakti has three different potencies. There's the sandini shakti, Samvit Shakti and the Hladini Shakti. The Sandini Shakti is the potency by which the spiritual realm is manifest. It's existence, its manifestation. The Samvit Shakti is its function or feature of understanding, of knowledge. And the Hladini Shakti is the pleasure potency. So when one comes under the influence of devotional service, which is directed by Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani is the personification of the Antaranga Shakti, of the spiritual potency, especially of this Ladini Shakti, she's the pleasure-giving potency for Krishna. When we come under the influence of that potency, then through the agency of the Sandini and Samvit Shakti, we become purified and aware of our identity, our spiritual identity as servants of Krishna and as loving servants of Krishna, especially when the combination of these Shaktis purifies the devotee. So the basis of that engagement in devotional service hinges on the chanting of Hare Krishna. That's why, you know, every day we chant the 10 offences, beginning with not to criticise the devotees, not to consider the demigods to be equal to or independent, not to ignore the instructions of the spiritual master, to blaspheme the scripture. So many different guidelines are given. Because as Prabhupada points out, that one only has to understand Krishna and his transcendental position. Janma karma chame divyam. We have to understand and appreciate Krishna's transcendental position. And we can very easily do that when we chant Hare Krishna with attention, with focus and attention. And then being inspired by our chanting, we also then engage in devotional, the 9 items of devotional service. Then gradually we become purified. And that natural Krishna prana that exists within the heart, it comes automatically, basically. It's not something that has to be forced. Our love for Krishna doesn't have to be forced. You know, like Prabhupada mentions in the, you know, in the Hare Krishna record, that, you know, the chanting of Hare Krishna is not an unnatural imposition. So, you know, basically the chanting of Hare Krishna is such a powerful tonic and or medicine, if you like, that it releases or reveals, uncovers what is already natural to us. We get freedom from the material attachments that bind us to the material realm, and our original spiritual position just comes, it blossoms. In fact, it's likened. Our consciousness of the living entity is likened to a budding flower. And as we chant Hare Krishna and become purified by the process of devotional service, then our consciousness expands and reveals its full potency. And in a human form of life, we get an opportunity to take advantage of that opportunity. In the animal species, one doesn't get that opportunity. So Vasudeva is considering his good fortune, and because he's a very humble devotee, then he's thinking, I've wasted my human form of life. I could have engaged in worshipping Krishna, who's the giver of liberation, but I didn't do it. Of course, he's already automatically doing that, but still, he's presenting himself. The Uttama Adhikari thinks of himself as not a very good devotee. He thinks of himself as everybody else is a better devotee than me. That's his qualification, actually. So he's lamenting. But also inspired, because Narada Muni is entering Dwarka, and so he's thinking, wow, now I've got an opportunity, a great opportunity. A devotee has come, so now let me take advantage of this situation. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
Is the chanting perspective only has two basic senses? So does the chanting require our hearing
We have spiritual senses, which are currently covered by material senses. As we chant Hare Krishna, as we take prasadam, as we engage in devotional activities, then those material senses become purified so that our spiritual senses are actually active. Right? So it's my understanding that gradually our material senses become purified. And so we start to act on the spiritual platform rather than on the material platform, because we understand, actually, I'm not this body. I'm the spirit soul. Right? And the spirit soul actually has a spiritual form. And by engaging in devotional service, it is so powerful. It is purifying. Pavitram. Right? Pavitram idam uttamam. Rajavija rajaguyam pavitram idam uttamam. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartamavyayam. Right? Process of devotional service is so potent that it purifies us so that we get a direct perception of our spiritual identity. And along with that spiritual identity is the realization that we have spiritual senses. Right? The spiritual body has a spiritual form and it has spiritual senses. So by engaging in devotional service, that we may initially just be, you know, using our gross material senses. But actually that's also exercising the spiritual body as well, if you like. The example is sort of like, if you want to develop your material body, you go to the gym and lift weights, right? And then you get a strong body. But we're not, you know, we're in a spiritual gym and we want to build a spiritual body. So we build a spiritual body by engaging it in devotional service. So we engage the gross material senses, siva, mukhi, hijivado. In the beginning, we render service with the tongue and with what appears to be our gross material senses. Right? But as we engage in that activity, actually what happens is the gross material senses become purified. So that what happens is that eventually we're engaged in the material body, but we're also engaged in the spirit soul in service. And so that purifying activity actually dissolves the material body. In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes how just as we automatically digest our breakfast without understanding how it happens. So similarly also, the process of devotional service dissolves the false ego of the living entity. So, you know, that false identification with the material body gets dissolved, and then, you know, when we're offering the arti to Krishna, then actually that engagement is coming from the spiritual platform of a purified soul, purified devotee, right? So he keeps the material body and everything pure and clean and suitable for offering to Krishna, but he's actually offering everything also with his spirit identity and his spiritual senses. No? That's my understanding of things. So that the material conception, if you like, is dissolved. And he's doing everything from the spiritual platform. So he's offering everything to Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, because we've been reading in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fifth chapter, and even third chapter, different chapter, it describes how, you know, the transcendentalist or the devotee who's engaged in devotional service, he sees that actually I'm not doing anything. Right? When we're under the influence of ahankara, false ego, we think I'm the doer. What's that? What's that verse? Ahankaram vimudha ma kartaham iti manyate. He's thinking I'm the doer. But on a spiritual platform, when we're engaged in devotional service and our consciousness becomes purified, we realize I'm not the doer. I'm just a witness. Right? Chetragya. I'm the knower of the field of activity. But actually, the doing is all being facilitated by the super soul. So that's purified consciousness. He realizes actually the body is working, but it's working under a superior direction. Right? And we know that because, you know, sometimes when we want to do something, we can't do it. Right? And then sometimes we do things and we think, wow, how did that happen? I didn't know I could do that. You know what I mean? So, you know, yeah, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it mentions how that, you know, one who remembers Krishna, then the most difficult things become easy. And one who forgets Krishna, then even the most simple things becomes like a most, you know, the hardest thing to do on the false ego platform. Huh? Even easy things become almost impossible. Yes, Mahamaji.
You want to tell us something on Jiva Goswami's?
In a minute. Yes, I do.
You know that Chaitanya Krishna, you know, consciousness is just, you know, divine and also through the Lord's kind of mercy, it's the easiest available and the, you know, the biggest part.
Well, for those in the Kali Yuga, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, reaching the devotees, make it, it looks like they make it this cheap for people, like we see that over the ego. And it's like I've seen it many times that like those who can preach to, they think that, you know, the devotees make, because they come up to them, they are very valuable and they actually lose interest because the devotees are so overly eager to do it. Do you know somebody? Because some of the first devotees, like in this short sort of time, a little bit of interest, and suddenly there's like 10 devotees, all starving and stuff like that.
So the question is, why are devotees eager to preach to others?
Yeah, that's, you know, not that.
20 to 1. Overwhelming.
Yeah.
I think that's just due to immaturity. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of reasons why they do that. You know, Here's a new bhakta, great, I'll get him to do the kitchen cleanup for me. He can clean the prasadam hall. I won't have to do it anymore. Or, I know more than you, you do what I tell you to do. There's all sorts of, anyway. But mostly devotees are, they're enthusiastic when, you know, we're encouraged to make friends with the devotees, and so when somebody shows the tendency to be a devotee, then we want to make friends with them. That's natural. You know, to increase the numbers of devotees is our mission. And so when that mission is successful, then one becomes enthused and, you know, encouraged, if you like. But I guess we shouldn't smother people too much.
Mm-hmm. So how do you find the balance between not looking after people and encouraging them at the same time, show them a bit of attachment to do the benefits?
Practice. Mm-hmm. Practice makes perfect. Becoming an expert preacher. Mahamaya. Mahamaya is the Maya that comes about as a result of the influence of the external or the material energy. So that's the standard kind of Maya that we all experience. Oh, I'm in Maya. Yoga Maya means the Maya which covers the living entity and which engages us in devotional service. So in this particular case, Vasudeva is thinking, Mohito Deva Mayaya. I've been under the influence of, I've become illusioned by Krishna's material energy. This is what he's thinking. I've become influenced by the material energy, but actually, his desire to serve Krishna as a father is the influence of the internal or the spiritual potency. And so as a consequence, his illusion, if you like, is that he's Krishna's father. You can say it's an illusion. But actually it's perfection. In that position of being Krishna's father and facilitating his birth, he's actually illustrating or demonstrating the highest degree of love and affection and service to Krishna. So that kind of maya, if you like, or illusion, is desirable. Whereas the maya of material existence, it means that we have to take birth again and suffer as a result of our past karmas, the reactions of our previous good and bad deeds. So we get good and bad karma. We have a mixed sort of a karma. But for one who's under the influence of the internal or the spiritual potency, the yoga maya, engagement in devotional service means more devotional service in the future, basically, or eternal devotional service. So it's basically, you know, the material energy is one of Krishna's potencies, and the internal or spiritual energy is another one of Krishna's potency. They're both called Maya, and they both illusion the living entity. But the Mahamaya is the real illusion, because it's a state of change The constant feature of the material world is that it's always changing. Whereas devotional service under the influence of Yogamaya or the spiritual energy is constant and continuous and is a position that's aspired for by the devotees. Anything else? So today is actually the appearance day of Vamana Dev, Lord Trivikram. It's also the appearance day of Jiva Goswami. Vamana Dev is the incarnation of the dwarf Brahmana, young boy, who tricked Bali Maharaj. You know, this is probably the funniest. Well, certainly one of the most humorous pastimes, where the Lord appeared before Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was terrorizing, but he had usurped the kingdom of the demigods, although he was a demon. And he'd taken over Indra's palace and Indra's position, and he basically had exiled all of the demigods. And so the demons were in charge of universal affairs. And the demigods have basically petitioned Lord Vishnu to appear to help them. So he appeared as Vamana Dev in the form of a dwarf Brahmana, and he as the son of Aditi and Kashyapa, right? Kashyapa Muni and Aditi, and he went to Bali Maharaj, and because Bali Maharaj was actually a devotee and inclined to devotional service, because I think, is Prahlad Maharaj, what's Bali? That's right, yeah, the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So actually he's, you know, he has devotional samskaras. Of course, Sukracharya, his guru, knew what was going on. He realized, aha, this is not just a dwarf Brahmana, this is Vishnu, and he's come to cheat us. So he warned Bali Maharaj, don't do anything. Already Bali Maharaj had offered, you know, and said, what do you want? Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And Sukracharya said, no, if you give him anything, he'll take everything. This is a lesson for the devotees. If you give Krishna anything, then he's going to take everything. So, you know, Prabhupada tells a story of how his father would say, you know, what can you hold on to? Vishnu's got 10 arms. You've only got 2. So what can you hold on to? He can take everything away. Of course, conversely, he said, what can you hold when the Lord wants to benedict you? He's got 10 arms. He'll give you more than you can expect. So Sukracharya understood the seriousness of giving in charity to the Lord. This is one of the reasons why we encourage, you know, people to give in charity to the devotees, because by giving in charity to the devotees, they actually get much, much, much more benefit. Anything given to the devotional service purifies the person of almost unlimited sinful activity. So Sukracharya understood the consequences of giving in charity to the Lord, but Bali Maharaj was determined. So he asked Vamana Dev, what do you want? And he said, I want 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj just scoffed. He said, you're just a dwarf. And you're asking me, I'm the king, I'm the emperor of the whole universe. And you're just asking me for 3 steps of land, and you're a dwarf. I mean, you know, that's only 3 little steps. And I can give you wealth, followers, wives, land, you know, what, just ask for a planet instead of three sets of land, because, you know, Vamanadeva was tricking him. And so Vamanadeva insisted, no, I just only want three steps of land, it's okay, I don't need a lot. Because with his first step he took up the first half of the universe, with the second step he took up the rest of the universe. Actually, in his second step he stuck his foot through the covering of the universe. So he expanded into a huge form. From a dwarf to a giant, big enough to take two steps to cover the whole of the creation, practically speaking, in the universe, and stick his toe through the covering of the, so that the Karana Jal could come in, the, from where the Ganges comes. So then he said to Bali Maharaj, you promised me three steps of land, I've taken two and there's nowhere else to go, so what are you going to do, big man? You're the big man, the controller of the universe, and now you can't fulfill your promise. And of course, in the process, he's been cursed by Sukracharya to go to hell, and he couldn't fulfill his promise. So, you know, completely, humiliated in front of everybody, completely embarrassed. You know, I think, I'm not sure if it was at this point or later on, they brought the, you know, the ropes of Varuna, wasn't it? They'd tie him up, okay, send him to hell. But because Bali Maharaj is such a great devotee, then he said, you know, there's one more place that you can put your step. And of course it was, I guess this is his joke, you can stick your foot on my head, right? And that'll be my honour. So he wasn't thinking, you know, oh, I've been defeated. He was thinking, yes, well, you know, my master is so much greater and more powerful than me, and he's shown me his affection by demonstrating this and by subjugating me, so let me surrender everything. And of course Bali Maharaj is the epitome of surrendering everything, of giving everything to the Lord. And so much so that even though he was cursed to go to hell by his guru, and he couldn't fulfill the promise of giving three steps of land to Vamanadeva, and so as a consequence, then you know he was exiled, if you like, or actually sent back to the hellish planets where he belonged. But because of his devotion, then Vamanadeva agreed, "I'll come and be your doorkeeper." Right? So Lord Vamanadeva demonstrates this mood of Bhakta Vatsala, right? The Lord is actually the friend of his devotee. And, you know, it's said that actually Vamanadeva is in anxiety because there are four doors in Bali Maharaj's palace, and he can enter and exit out of any one of those doors. So Vamanadeva is in anxiety, wondering which door he's going to come out of, so that he can open up the door and serve his devotee nicely. I think that's in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita that's described. So you know, Bali Maharaj was a very exalted personality, very exalted devotee, and the Lord agreed, Vamanadeva agreed, because of the surrender of his devotee, he agreed, I'll come and I'll act as your doorkeeper. Quite amazing when you think about it. The Lord likes to serve his devotees more than he likes to be served himself, actually. Because, you know, this mood of service is very attractive, it's very appealing. Even to Krishna it's appealing to render service. You know, devotional service is the highest activity, and it's such an elevated and exalted activity. The Lord wants to do it himself. So therefore it appears as Lord Chaitanya also to be a devotee. And serving the devotees is the highest activity, so the Lord takes on the role of Bali Maharaja's doorkeeper. Right? You know, like in the hotel they have the doorkeepers, the bellboys, you know. When somebody comes out they go, "Where's the taxi?" You know, call the taxi. So he likes to be, Vamanadeva likes to do that for Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj comes out, "Okay, bring the horses, bring the chariot." Yeah, amazing. And also, Jiva Goswami's appearance. Jiva Goswami is the youngest of the six Goswamis. And also the most prolific in terms of literature written. A very, very great scholar, and many of the latter day, saints that were like the immediate post associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were either part of the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya or just came after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, then they became disciples of Jiva Goswami, because Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were somewhat older and more contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Jiva Goswami was a later contemporary, if you like. And so, you know, devotees like Lokanath, disciples of Lokanath actually, Shyamananda, Narottam Das Thakur, who was the other one? Yes, Srinivasacharya. They were all disciples of Jiva Goswami. Not necessarily direct disciples, in that they were initiated by him, but rather he was their siksha guru, right? And Jiva Goswami coordinated then. Trained those devotees, instructed them in the conclusions of Mahaprabhu's teachings and the teachings of the Vedas, supporting Mahaprabhu's teachings, and he then instructed those devotees to go and preach. You know, they were the first. Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das, and Shyamananda were the first book distributors. In that they were given translations of the different books written by the Goswamis, and those literatures were carried then from Vrindavan to Bangladesh and Orissa and those areas where Mahaprabhu had actually performed his pastimes. But what was lacking amongst the Vaishnavas of Bengal and Orissa was order and structure, and even at that stage the different Sahajya traditions were starting to manifest a little bit, right? So Jiva Goswami instructed those devotees to go to Bengal and Orissa and the surrounding areas and distribute this knowledge, preach basically, and establish, you know, a standard, if you like, a standard of devotional service based on the teachings of Rupa and Sanatana, and also the writings of Jiva Goswami, ultimately based on the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jiva Goswami was like the commander-in-chief of the Vaishnavas after Rupa and Sanatana had moved on to their eternal position, had attained samadhi. So he was like the head, the leader of the Vaishnavas, and a great scholar and preacher. So, today is an auspicious day. Tomorrow is also an auspicious day. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. Tomorrow has a half day fast again tomorrow. And then the day after that is Haridas Thakur's disappearance day. So we've got a bit of... And then the day after that is the day of Srila Prabhupada's taking sannyas. And it's also the day that Vishwarup, Lord Chaitanya's brother, took sannyas also. So we've got an action-packed weekend. Yeah. Okay, Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.